Is Power Lunch with Susan, sponsored by the new AT&T Universal Visa Business Rewards Card for Small Business. Get one of the broadest rewards networks available with a full suite of innovative financial services. You're driven, so get rewarded for it. And now, here's your host, Susan Wilson-Solovic.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Power Lunch with Susan Wilson-Solovic. And, of course, I'm Susan Wilson-Solovic. And I'm really pleased that you're joining us for today's inaugural radio program. In fact, this program is based on my book, The Girl's Guide to Building a $1 Million Business. And the point of this program really is to introduce you to some of my great $1 Million girlfriends, because in the book, so many outstanding women have shared their insights and inspirations to help other women build multi-$1 million organizations. And so I'm very thrilled to share with you a couple of my girlfriends today. I have with me on today's inaugural program, Bonnie Filandrinos, who is the president and founder of Staffing Solutions in St. Louis, Missouri, and also Rebecca Herwick, who is the CEO of Global Products, based also here in St. Louis, Missouri. Thanks for joining me. This is so much fun to have you guys on the show.
Thanks
for having us.
Thanks for the invite.
And you really are great girlfriends, too. And you've been an amazingly successful woman in business. But Bonnie, let's start off. I just gave you a really informal introduction. Tell me, what does Staffing Solutions do?
We are what I would call a blended staffing firm. So 32 years ago when I started in the staffing industry, you were either a temp agency or you did, quote, you know, placement. And so we were actually the first blended staffing firm in the St. Louis area, combining temp and contract services with, you know, full-time placement. So we were the first blended. And then at the same time, we decided that there were smaller companies such as ours and people just getting started that couldn't really afford our services. So we unbundled the recruitment process and started selling our expertise on an a la carte basis. And so we were able to provide professional services to small businesses that really couldn't afford, quote, professional services in placing people. So we were able to target every different market from, you know, the international global firms that were public companies to the medium-sized private companies and the startups, people like us when we first started, that really didn't have the expertise in staffing. And we gave them our professional services at a price they could afford. And we were groundbreakers. Nobody had ever done it before.
Well, you actually helped us out here at SBTV very early on, too. And it's been great to work with you throughout
the years.
And Rebecca, you have an amazing company. Tell me a little bit about what you do.
Global Products is a brand management firm. We are also, most importantly, a licensee for Harley-Davidson. So we are entitled to the licensing grant to supply Harley-Davidson dealers around the world with their corporate promotional products, giftware, and headwear. We've also diversified into other publicly traded and large corporations and helping them as well to build their brand identity.
And before we move on, I just have to say this is really, well, it kind of has something to do with your business, but you also ride and own Harleys, right?
Multiple, yes.
Yes.
I'm an enthusiast.
How many do you own now?
There's 6 in the garage right now.
That's amazing. So she's kind of the Harley girl, I guess.
It's great to be in a business that you love. That's first and foremost important.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, one of the things that I talked about in the book and also interviewed both of you for is really the importance when you're starting out from the very beginning, having some sort of vision about what you want to create with your business. Was that important for you all? And just talk a little bit about how instrumental that was in creating your companies.
For me, it was a negative because I had worked for other companies that were in my industry, and I just was really negative about their business, the way they ran their business. So I met a lot of resistance working for other people. I didn't like the way that they ran their staffing organization. And so for me, it was, I don't like the way these people are doing this. This is a great business to be in, but nobody's doing it right. So I almost felt like I had no choice. I was compelled to do something in a way that I felt our industry wasn't doing. And so I'm not so sure it was a vision so much as being turned off by what other people were already doing.
Well, I think you sort of had a dream about delivering a product or your services to the marketplace in a very unique way.
Right.
That you saw that was very needed.
And I think that really what was disturbing to me the most is that our industry was, you know, was really superficial. When you come in to interview people and have a superficial conversation, I didn't feel that that was helping our employer. So really what we wanted to do was get a lot, you know, deeper and do a deeper screening. And so that was my goal. So I guess it was a vision, but it was really born out of negativity for not being pleased with the way
I
was
wanted
taught.
To shake it up and change things. Absolutely. Rebecca, what about you? When you started the company, what kind of vision did you have? What did you want to create?
Initially, it started out for me as being at the right place at the right time. I've always been a motorcycle enthusiast, and my background's in chemistry. And I never really fit in the educational environment with the social environment. And by traveling to different motorcycle shows and selling giftware and collectibles, I was able to network and meet people in the motorcycle industry. And this was came about the same time that Harley-Davidson bought back from AMF, their company. And as this company started growing, I, along with them, in alignment with the motor company, began the licensing program with them, and the company grew. The first time I actually had a vision was in 1999, after I had done a tour in the late 90s of Europe and saw that the product that our customers were getting in the United States were not available to the customers in Europe, and that's when I decided to go global. I changed the company name to Global Products, and that has been my vision for the last 9 years.
How important do you think, Rebecca, having that vision of seeing something bigger and really being able to articulate that, how important do you think that's been for you and your success?
Dramatically important. Early, I think it comes with maturity as well. In my 20s and 30s, I don't think I understood the ability to see beyond 10 years. I was lucky to be able to see 5 years out and keeping up with the industry, making sure that I had new products and that I was providing products to customers cost effectively was most important. As soon as I matured as a business leader, that's when I understood that it was important to have a vision. And then when I got that vision, it was very easy to move forward with it and make sure that everybody around me, my staff, my customers, and my association with Harley-Davidson were all aware of where I was going with this global, worldwide company.
That brings out an interesting point, because the other thing, it's one thing to have a vision or to see a unique market opportunity and be able to build to that, but you also need that team support and people around you who buy into that vision and that dream as well. Bonnie, do you feel that you've been able to cultivate a company culture that everybody is supportive of that vision that you have?
Without a doubt. And I think that our industry, the average turnover is 11 months. And my people have been with me from between 10 and 19 years.
You've been doing something right,
yeah,
obviously.
And so I think that giving people the opportunity to really feel passionate about something. But the one thing I think that keeps people together, and as we place people into other companies, the one piece of glue I think that keeps everybody together is shared values. And so whether it be your company, Rebecca, and we're lucky enough to staff with you, and you, we're identifying people who share values. And so immediately, I think intuitively, I always surrounded myself with people who shared my values.
You know, I want to pick up on that right now, because I personally think values are just so important in a corporation, or not a corporation, a company, but even when you're just starting out, you really need to know what it is you want your company to stand for. So, Rebecca, do you have core values in your company, and how important is that for your whole culture?
It's very important, all the way down from the receiving person as product comes in the door, all of the manufacturing staff, the customer service staff, the management team. Everybody knows that the customer is who we are serving, and without that customer, we don't have a job, we don't have a company. So integrity and standing behind our product and our services is utmost important. And our customers know that. If they're not happy, then we will stand behind that product absolutely 100%.
Bonnie, what about you?
Well, I think that our entire culture was built on ethics and integrity. Our industry was not far behind used car salespeople as far as having any ethics or integrity or respect in the
yeah.
business place. And so,
no offense to the used car salesman watching.
Yeah, no offense. But I mean, you know,
right.
And so my whole perspective immediately was that we were to be trustworthy mm-hmm. and not just shove a body into a company. And so our whole mantra really became ethics and integrity. That's where we started, that's where we live now, and that's what we're known for. And I think that any time an issue is presented in our organization, the question that's always asked is, what's the right thing to do here? And when you're dealing with people, you know, there's always a temptation to manipulate. And you know what? It's not the right outcome. And it's tempting for a lot of people in our business.
Well, I think when you're starting and growing a company, sometimes it's easy to think about cutting corners or, oh, well, that won't really matter this one time. But it does. It can have important consequences.
Absolutely. And as a client of Bonnie's, I have to tell you, she does stand behind her word. And the interesting thing about Bonnie's business is she has gotten to know me. She has had me tested so that she is able to find people who are compatible
right.
with me.
I remember the first time I met with Bonnie and I sat in her office and she looked like she was just almost looking straight through me, like she had known me all her life. And I thought, is this woman a mind reader or what? But you're right. I mean, she gets to know her customer and that's so important.
But see, that's what, I mean, you know, can you imagine somebody coming in to interview with a temp agency and they're sitting out at a reception desk talking to a person in front of a bunch of other people. Everybody at my company has a private office. When people come in to talk with us, they can talk openly. And you know what? If you think about who walks into a staffing agency, somebody's looking for a job, they're walking in because something happened that brought them there. They either relocated here, they lost their job, they were downsized, they were upside. And so they're going to have a story to tell, and they need to be able to tell it openly. And you can't do that in the middle of nowhere. And it's the depth that I think that sets us apart and what I always wanted to do, and that's the fun part. Because when you talk with somebody in depth, that's when you get at their values. And the people who accept a job and stay at a job, they have a shared value system. So I may be able to read what the value system is in the person I'm interviewing, but I need the other piece, which is why when we work with clients, I have to go see Rebecca, I have to come see Susan, I have to get to know you, because you people drive the values in your organization. I want to find people who are compatible with your belief system. And I think that that's what sets us apart.
And that is really key, because the values start with you as the leader of your mm-hmm. company. And so that brings me to a question that I want to ask, because a lot of women, I mean myself included, clearly, often find it very difficult as their organization grows to step up to that role of being the CEO, of being the real leader of the company, because you're so used to being down the trenches, doing everything, being one of the team players, and suddenly you have to take that next level to step up to that role. Rebecca, I know you have employees all over the world practically. How was that adjustment for you?
It took time. It took a lot of time for me to understand what it meant to my staff when they observed my behavior. And I have learned over time to continue to integrate with the staff. So to this day, when I come into my building, I will do a whole tour of the facility, go by everybody's position, talk to them, ask them how they're doing, observe what they're doing. And if I see that there's a problem, I won't talk directly to that person about it. I will go to their manager and I'll address it with their manager. That's how it needs to be taken care of. It is no longer that one-on-one relationship with me, because then they get a feeling that if they have a problem or concern, well, they can just come to my office. And I just don't have the time to allocate for 115 people to knock on my door if they want to take Tuesday morning off for a dental appointment.
Right.
So there has to be a distancing and there has to be a respect for the management team and for their supervisors to handle any issues that they have. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't escalate. If somebody at the company feels that they've gone through the steps, they've gone to the supervisor, they've gone to the management, and they're just not getting the response, they're not being heard, then I do have an open door policy, but they better make sure that they've gone through the process first.
And Bonnie, what about you being that, well, you call yourself the president, the CEO.
And I'm a really poor example for what we really want to emulate, because I'm not comfortable calling myself a leader or a CEO. I really describe myself as an orchestra leader. I've been fortunate enough to surround myself with virtuosos. And so I feel like I have the music. That's the one thing I have. And I'm just conducting. So
It's a matter of semantics. I don't know. What do you think, Rebecca? I think the orchestra is, I mean, the maestro is the leader of the orchestra.
Well, so. And that's it. But, you know, I don't know. I just, maybe it's just how I view myself. But I don't consider myself leadership material or management material. I just have an idea of what I want to do and how I want to get it done. And that's
and,
all I
am. And I'm it's sorry, but
simple.
I think that's the definition of a leader.
I do too.
I think you're being too modest. But you know what? We're going to take that up when we come back because we're going to have to take a short break. We've got lots of other issues to cover here, but we're having fun. And I also want to let everybody know if they want to email us some questions that we can take your email questions. All you have to do is email success@sbtv.com, and we'll be watching for those. We'll take some of your questions after the break. So don't go away. Stay with us for more Power Lunch with Susan.